Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source. From Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. Texas Republicans are intensifying their opposition to in vitro fertilization. At the party's recent state convention in Houston, delegates approved a platform calling for the protection of fetal life from what it describes as destructive practices such as IVF and commercial surrogacy. Party leaders are calling for regulations that would restrict or ban common IVF practices. Delegates are endorsing removing legal protections that generally prevent women from being prosecuted for the outcomes of their own pregnancy. The position promoted by abortion absolutionists who argue that embryos should receive the same legal protections as people after birth. So what would these policies mean for fertility patients, physicians, and the future of reproductive medicine in Texas? Joining us is Dr. Shelley Nichols. She is also a Democratic candidate for Texas House District 122 and will face Republican State Representative Mark DiIarzio in November. And Dr. Nichols, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So when Texas Republicans are describing IVF as a destructive practice, what is it that about IVF that they are thinking about? Or do they have a fundamental misunderstanding about how IVF actually works?
So if we just take it to the basics, IV fertilization, right? In vitro fertilization is just the fertilization of the egg outside of the body. Most human eggs don't survive to the implantation stage, even in nature. It's 60% loss. So that is naturally occurring pre-implantation losses. We also have about 30% early miscarriages, and then somewhere left is our live births. That is the normal process of fertilization. IVF has similar numbers in that there's 50 to 70% of eggs that mature, and these can develop into blastocysts that are suitable for implantation or freezing. So we have roughly the same number of losses as we do in nature. I think that there is a misunderstanding of what fertilization is to start with and how many losses post-fertilization that we have in nature. And I think if we can just bring it back to logic and science, then we can see that we are probably all in the same camp. Now, there are these abolitionists, and I have spoken to some of them, and what they will tell me is they are against the destruction of the non-implanted eggs. That is something, again, that is naturally occurring as well.
So the idea is that they want to consider these fertilized eggs as people,
That's correct. These are human beings. That's correct. So if
so
we treat
should they be counted in the census, or how does that work?
I would find it difficult in any sort of scientific measurement to do this. Like I said, in nature, these pre-implantation losses would just be considered a normal menstrual cycle for most women. So it would be hard to count who these people were in the first place.
Right. Do they get a birth certificate, each one of these eggs?
No.
But they see them as people.
That is my understanding.
All right. So our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you have questions or comments about this opposition by the Texas Republican Party to in vitro fertilization, also adopting this hard line against women who have abortions, they want them charged with murder or other criminal acts. We're seeing that they are moving further to the right in this so-called right to life movement. Is that how you see this?
That is how I see it. And again, I do want to keep it more towards the IVF issue, just because I think that this needs a lot of explaining to people. When I first heard about this platform, which is non-binding but does tell you where they intend to go with legislative proposals in the next session, is that they would take away IVF from people. So who are the people who traditionally get IVF? Fertility challenged couples, typically women of advanced age, have more problems becoming pregnant. But I went to medical school with so many women who needed to get IVF because in our journey to become doctors, we are just at a higher maternal age by the time we're ready for our family planning. These are women who over the years have been told that they need to be financially stable, they need to be ready for everything that their patients need, and then someone is coming in and telling them that they do not have the right to start a family in the way that they see fit. There's also a second population of cancer patients that rely on this care. So many young people who undergo chemo and radiation are offered fertility banking services. And that means when they are of an age where they want to have children, they might not be able to because of the toxic chemotherapy, which is the way that it works, has made them infertile. And so we would essentially be taking this away from young boys and young girls before they are even at that place in their family planning journey.
So fertility doctors typically create more than one fertilized egg at a time, correct?
That's correct.
Why is that?
It's because it is hard to get these eggs at the appropriate level for implantation. And so you may only have one opportunity for implantation. Most couples need two or three cycles. The cycles are very expensive. They are often with some, you know, uncomfortable procedures and things that women have a hard time taking physically, but also a single cycle costs about $30,000. And now people are going to have to do two and three cycles to get maybe a couple of viable eggs.
And so by doing it this way, the way they do it now conventionally, it saves on cost, saves on just the invasive nature of the process. It seems to be practical.
It is practical. You know, there used to be this side of reproductive endocrinology where they made many, many more fertilized eggs and then they would implant a lot of them. But we've gotten better that our numbers can do pretty well if you have just one or two cycles.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. If you have a question, comments about in vitro fertilization, it's now become a political issue in Texas as the Texas Republican Party at their recent convention in Houston, they have approved the platform calling for it to be prohibited or greatly restrictive, calling it a destructive practice and as part of their Right to Life platform. We want to hear from you. Call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The debate over in vitro fertilization is heating up. It exposes a fundamental contradiction inside the anti-abortion movement. Can politicians declare that human life and legal personhood begins at fertilization while permitting a medical procedure in which that several fertilized embryos may be created, tested, frozen, and eventually discarded? We're talking about that today with with Dr. Shelley Nichols, as a doctor, a medical doctor, and also a candidate for Texas House District 122. And I'm going to play a voicemail that we got earlier expressing a different point of view.
Hi, this is John Rice Cameron, legislative liaison at the Foundation to Abolish Abortion. We're a Texas-based anti-abortion abolitionist organization. We strongly support the language adopted by the Republican Party of Texas, both in the platform and in the legislative priority. All this language does is it affirms what the Republican Party of Texas has affirmed for over 10 years, that abortion should be abolished and that every preborn child from the moment of fertilization should be protected by the same laws to protect born people. Specifically, this priority calls for the repeal of several provisions of Texas Penal Code that give aborting mothers absolute legal immunity from homicide, assault, and wrongful death as it relates to preborn children. These penal codes are loopholes that keep self-induced abortion legal, and it's vital that the legislature, in order to protect every child equally from the moment of fertilization, repeal these provisions and thus establish a deterrent to mothers or anyone else who would want to take the life of a preborn child. With respect to IVF, we appreciate that this language will help the legislature and give them some direction when it comes to addressing practices in IVF that are destructive towards human beings, such as the discarding of embryos, selective reduction, and other practices that are blatantly homicidal and that would need to be addressed by the legislature to truly equally protect every unborn child from the moment of fertilization. So there's a very comprehensive legislative priority that the committee and that the convention chose to adopt. It addresses a number of issues that are key to protecting the sanctity of life, and we're very happy with the strong equal protection language that was adopted, as well as calling attention to the fact that there are several IVF practices that need to be looked at and addressed very carefully by the legislature. So thanks very much. I really appreciate your attention to the story.
All right, so Dr. Shelley Nichols, your reaction to those comments, some charged words there, blatantly homicidal, stood out.
Yeah, so a few issues. One would be taking into account that most fertilized eggs do not have viability. Okay, that's whether they are made in a lab. Most of them do not mature to the blastocyst stage where they can be implanted in a uterus. It's very difficult to know which ones are going to be viable, so you have to grow multiple to see if they'll get to that stage.
So let me ask you about viability, because that's also a term that's been used in talking about abortion as well. So when you talk about viability, you mean in terms of being able to become a fetus, okay? So, but all of them are not, they have no independent ability to grow into a human being, right?
If they are never implanted, then no, because they have no nutrition source, right? And if you go beyond that, because I hear the word viability taken in a different ways as well, I'm talking about viability in IVF, meaning it can even be implanted. Many, many of these will still go through early miscarriages, again, in these women who very much want these children and are going through great expense physically, emotionally, and financially to try to bring a family into this world.
Right. So when he's talking about these are people, that they have a right to life, each one of these eggs that have been fertilized, I mean, it's still, there's a long way to go before that becomes something that is can grow into a human being.
That's correct. And I think we have fundamentally different opinions on this, but the science is what it is, that most eggs, naturally occurring or through science, will never reach the point where they get to be implanted and have any viable potential.
So let's talk about the practical aspects here. If this Republican platform becomes law, it does not, they adopted this position, that is not law. This is something they're going to work towards in the Texas legislature. We have basically a Republican-controlled state, and so they have a way to make this become law. That, so it's not out of the question to say this could become law. So if they ban IVF in Texas as we know it today, what would that mean?
If it was banned today, I think you have to ask these groups, what do they intend to do with all of these eggs that are already sitting in storage? For one, who is responsible for taking these children to term? What are their ideas regarding that? And then after that, you have to say, well, are we going to make it such that this is calling women who, again, very much want these children murderers? I mean, he said the word homicide. How are you going to start enacting those laws?
Well, there are people that depend upon IVF in order to have children. Mm-hmm. So if we ban it, then that's not a possibility, at least in the state of Texas.
Yes, and you know, they say as Texas goes, so does the rest of the country. We saw that with a lot of our abortion restrictions that have carried over to other states. And what we have to do right now is educate and fight against any of these laws going into effect. But if they do, then that needs to be brought up through the court system. And that's why we have a system of checks and balances so that it does not become nationwide law, which I believe is the intention of these groups.
What would that mean for the medical establishment in Texas if they banned IVF in this state? We already are having trouble training doctors because of the anti-abortion positions mm-hmm. that we've adopted. And people don't want to move to Texas because of these laws that we have, including the anti-transgender laws that we have. Is this another move towards becoming a theocracy that would basically get in the way of medical science?
So we already have doctors that are being sanctioned by the Texas Medical Board for following these Republican laws and not giving women access to abortion. There are 4 women that just died from this. 3 doctors are being sanctioned from the Texas Medical Board for not providing that reproductive care. So they are OBGYNs. We are going to see a massive shortage of OBGYNs and I'm sure an exodus of reproductive endocrinologists.
Right. So let's go ahead and go to a caller that we have and let's make that happen. Okay, Randall, you're on the air.
Well, I guess not, because I was just going to bring up the same thing that your guest did, that we're going to have this exodus. We're already having this in other areas of Texas, but anything related to science or medicine, these people are going to fly the coop because there's no way for them to operate under the scientific methods and everything that they were taught and the medical technology and all of that stuff. You know, these people are just going to fly the coop. So yeah, she beat me to the punch, but that is my point, that we're going to lose a lot of the brain drain and the medicine drain, I guess.
And this is already a problem in rural Texas, where I have fellow colleagues who are running for office saying, you can't even get an OBGYN to deliver a baby in the county that I live in. All the emergency rooms are delivering babies.
So some people are seeing a basic contradiction here. Conservatives frequently say they want Americans to marry and have children, reverse the falling birth rates, yet a ban like this would prevent thousands of people from experiencing becoming parents. And so do you see that as a contradiction?
I do see it as a contradiction. I'm not sure what their overall stance is on that. But we need to allow patients and their doctors to make their best medical decisions for themselves and not bring politicians from Austin into your examination room.
There was a time when if you brought up the argument that Republicans were opposed to abortion and they would ban abortion in Texas, and you would be poo-pooed and say, that's never going to happen. Here we are. It has happened. So when we have the Texas Republican Party talking about this position that they want to ban IVF, and they want to pass laws that are going to make women who have an abortion accountable for murder, then do you think we should take that seriously?
Absolutely. I think that this GOP stance that was put forth as their platform, they made it known that this is what they intend to do with their legislation. And Ken Paxton can come in and say he's a strong supporter of IVF now, but I watched his 9-minute keynote speech at the GOP convention, and he said nothing about IVF. He had all the time in the world to talk about it. And, you know, just responding after a backlash is not leadership, and it is not representing us.
So as a Democratic candidate for the Texas House, and you're also a doctor, how do you separate your medical assessment from your political argument, or are they aligned?
I started to run because I saw so many problems in healthcare, so I feel they are very much aligned and that we need to bring experts into the room. I don't think it's always a bad intention of people to make laws that hurt other people. I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of science.
So the people who say we oppose IVF, they really don't understand the science. They have an ideological view. We know that the Catholic Church is opposed to IVF, and so they see it akin to abortion. They see it as a conception outside of the sanctity of marriage. These are the things that they find to be their driving thought process.
I understand that. And I have talked to several religious leaders about the thoughts here. And I just can't get in line with saying that a fertilized egg is a person. Because if we say that, then we're saying many times when we are having what we think is our menstrual cycle, we are also having, you know, dispelled fertilized eggs. And that's just the science of it. We can't argue with that and say they were all people and now a woman's a murderer for having a miscarriage.
So the idea of saying this is a person, yet they don't get counted in the census, they don't have a birth certificate, they can't apply for a home loan. I mean, are they a person? I mean, it doesn't seem like, it seemed like a long walk to get there from, I mean, it's not nothing. It's something that deserves respect and to be treated, you know, with dignity. But at the same time, you know, to get to it's a person. And they should be counted as a homicide earlier. That seems like a long way to go.
Yeah.
And any reaction to that?
I think that we just need to bring more common sense and more expertise into this discussion and make it less inflammatory in the rhetoric.
Dr. Shelley Nichols, a doctor here in San Antonio, is a candidate also for Texas House District 122, running under the Democratic banner. She's running against Mark D'Arzio in November. Thank you so much.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.